You're listening to the Electronic Media Collective Podcast Network. Yeah, it's a mouthful. For more great shows, like the one you're about to enjoy, visit electronicmediacollective.com. And now, our feature presentation.
Welcome to Turning Cartwheels, the podcast where we have fun at work and work hard at fun. Here's your host, Jesse Kiefer.
Hey, everybody, you're listening to episode number 7 of the Turning Cartwheels podcast, and today's episode is brought to you by Lost No Longer Productions. Lost No Longer is a multimedia production company specializing in video production and, near and dear to my heart, puppetry. Ben Kruger is the creative mastermind behind Lost No Longer, and he excels at serial storytelling with soul. Ben is one of my oldest and dearest friends, and he gives every one of his projects his attention, his talent, and his passion. For a taste, head on over to his Facebook page by searching for Lost No Longer Productions, or you can contact him and see some of his current projects in his Twitter feed at RealBenKruger. I'll put those links in the show notes for easy access. This week, I'm going to lead by talking about how we poison the well. It's hard to have fun, and it's hard to cultivate friendships when you find yourself mired in dramas of your own making. Also, later in the show, what are some of the things that we can do to be a better friend? I discovered it in airplane mode. One of my morning rituals involves writing in my journal. I had really been reflecting on a recurring conflict that I seem to be having with a student. Now, a little background may be in order. I do teach elementary children during the day, but I also teach college courses. This student I'm talking about is an adult, or a young one at least. I had perceived an attitude that had been developing over some time, which to me seemed to be increasingly passive-aggressive. What seemed to be sniping or argumentative behavior had, in my mind, escalated into an almost alpha male dominance or butting of heads situation. Usually when I sense this situation in one of my courses, as the instructor or professor, I can usually recognize it early and diffuse it, or ignore it, or even kill it with kindness. Being ultimately in charge of the class can offer a potential for mental distance. You want your students to grow and to learn from your course, but admiration, friendship, devotion, they aren't 100% necessary. Don't get me wrong. They're a nice ego boost, but your students will not always love you or your decisions, and you can't let it get to you every time that they disagree with you. But in this particular case, I just had this sense that this student had some unrecognizable beef with me, and in my own mind, this had been going on for quite some time. So, back to my airplane mode and my morning journal for a moment. I'd been reflecting on it for a while. I just needed to know. What was this kid's problem? Every time we spoke outside of class, things were very friendly, and everything seemed fine. But once class began, I had to deal with a student who, in my mind, was arrogant, did not seem to value the class, and was regularly trolling me for an argument during class. I had slowly, over time, decided that this student was targeting me, and while they were friendly enough with me, did not, for some reason, respect the content I was providing in class, and in turn, maybe thought that the course was beneath them. I journaled about this for days, trying to get at the root of the problem. Eventually, I got around to thinking, well, I can't solve anyone else's problem. I have my own to deal with. And that's when it hit me. Maybe this young gentleman didn't have the problem. Maybe I did. In that moment, I felt a pit in my stomach. It didn't take me very long to backtrack through my memory, this time being very careful to look past my own bias as much as possible. This student shows up early. This student came in for extra work. This student responded promptly to correspondence. And on a personal level, if I asked for volunteers, this student was happy to help. Where other students wouldn't respond at all, it became clear very quickly I may have created the tensions between us. The problems I had perceived happening since day one really were only present for maybe a month or so. So his frustrations in class could very well have been related to how I was now reacting to his input. More specifically, when a student becomes argumentative in my class, I will entertain the tangent briefly, but I tend to put my foot down fairly quickly and then forge forward with my agenda. I've learned to do this when students use questions that aren't really there to further their understanding of the present topic, but often an attempt to troll an argument or in order to derail a lecture or discussion, which really just eats time. It's like wasting time arguing about whether Ronald Reagan was actually a Republican. It's kind of a silly exercise in the rhetorical. But back to my situation. I had perceived that this individual was attempting to argue just for the sake of argument or to display a sense of superiority. So I was treating him as if he were asking me that Ronald Reagan question, and I was responding with annoyance or dismissiveness. In short, I probably wasn't being as respectful as I could be. I was letting past experience with past students overly affect the present experience with a present student. Now moving forward, this student is not without faults. He does have a tendency to make statements that are tactless or arrogant. But in my experience, arrogance is often a side effect of when self-confidence either goes a step too far or is covering up for a lack of self-confidence. Nor did I suddenly become a saint who never shuts down a student in error. But I found that classes with this student improved dramatically when I stopped dismissing their thoughts and instead acknowledged them, even if I did so only very briefly. When I stopped seeing this student's interactions as some kind of personal dig or power play or threat, I stopped giving in to my own insecurities, and I was able to turn this misunderstanding on my part away from becoming something bigger or something that it wasn't. Before that point, I wasn't enjoying my class, but now, with a few personal admissions and a few attitude adjustments on my part, I'm enjoying it again. So the huge takeaway from this experience for me has been that self-reflection and journaling really helped me to problem solve this issue, and it really did unearth some truths that I just couldn't see at first. So if you find yourself wrestling with a problem, I recommend journaling on it for a while, sitting with it, and really noticing what's going on. Now, it could be a situation that is completely outside of your influence, like a financial bind or something, but usually we're making a choice, either consciously or unconsciously, that's affecting the reality that we presently find ourselves in. And if there's a choice to be made, knowing and being aware that that choice is actually there is maybe the first step towards clearing the air. After the break, we're going to talk about friendships and some key elements towards being a good friend. So I invite you to stick around for that after this.
Hey, listener. Yeah, you don't know this voice. Or maybe you do. You know that voice. Sure, you're enjoying yourself a little Turning Cartwheels podcast with Jesse Kiefer, and you should be. The show is great.
It's fantastic.
But you know,
I've heard it's excellent.
But maybe you want to hear Jesse and friends talk about comic books and Doctor Who and cat dancing and all kinds of other things. Check out the Growlix podcast. Jesse's on it.
Yeah, I'm on it.
I mean, this episode of Turning Cartwheels is going to end eventually. What are you going to listen to next?
The Growlix podcast. And you can even like pick what we do on the Growlix podcast. You can't pick what I do on my show. No, but you can pick what we do on the show.
On the show.
Growlix podcast is a proper democracy. Turning Cartwheels is a dictatorship. Which would you prefer?
It's true. It's true. I am a tyrant.
So set that internet dial to growlixpodcast.com or electronicmediacollective.com, which is a podcast network in which you can listen to the Growlix podcast right next to Turning Cartwheels.
It's possible that you really enjoy being alone and have plenty of fun all on your lonesome. Generally, I don't get bored when I'm alone. I generally like my alone time. I like to write. I like to draw. I like to read. I like video games and movies. None of those activities need to be done in a group. But let's face it, when you look back on your life and you think about what were the happiest and most enjoyable fun days of your life, you tend to remember who else was there, don't you? I'm a big time introvert, but when you ask me when I've had the most fun, a few times come to mind, and most of them, if not all of them, include at least one other person. So friendships are important, but I'm finding as I get older, friendships really flux compared to when we were young. Time passes and you meet new friends and you fall in and out of touch with your oldest and best friend. I really value my friends, but I'm not always the best at conveying that. In a week, I can get pretty overwhelmed, and if I have the choice, I might end the week by hiding away in my house. So I thought I'd look for a few tips and compile a list of my findings that really resonated with me. Some of these came from a list of Facebook comments, and some of them came from a blog or a news article, and others I just extrapolated on my own from my own personal thoughts. I'm not good at all of these, and I'm not horrible at all of these either, but all of these, I definitely agree, help to make a great friendship. I'll make sure to put my resources in the show notes so that you can see where some of these came from. First up is show up. It's easy to say that you support someone, but the only way to show it is by actually being there. And there's no faking that. Either you're there or you're not. I started with this one because it's probably the hardest one for me. I love it when my friends come to me. I'm much better at people showing up for me than I am at showing up for people. I almost always talk myself out of it. Well, they might be busy. They might be in the middle of dinner. They might not even be home. You know what? All of that might be true, but they might just be thrilled that I stopped by anyhow. Remember the milestones. Basically, remember what is important. Know the birthdays, know anniversaries, know when they get that big promotion, and recognize how hard they worked to get there, and what a big step it was for them to get out of their comfort zone and take their story into a new chapter. Be there for it. Go above and beyond. My good friend Dave has done this time and again, too many to list. But one time, he knew I was bummed for one reason or another. I can't even rightly remember why I was bummed, but I do remember his epic pick-me-up strategy for sure. He stopped by my house with a care package of dollar store toys with an axe cop theme, a toy axe, a police playset with badges and cuffs, and even got me a fake mustache. How awesome is that? A pick-me-up so mighty, I've completely forgotten what I was down about. Listen without judgment. Even with friends, there are some topics that are just hard to talk about sometimes, and it takes a lot of courage to admit something, even to the people you really trust. In certain cases, especially to the people that you respect the most. It's so important to hear without judgment or without offering that advice. Some conversations are meant to be heard and processed and accepted. Not everything is a problem to be solved or a thing to be fixed. It seems easy to say, but sometimes it's easier said than done when you have that outside perspective and you think that you see a clear solution. Sometimes that's not what is needed. Be who you truly are, and accept your friends for who they are. This ties into the last. Be yourself. Let your friends do the same. Unfair judgments can ruin the best friendships. I have wonderful friends who are very different from me in terms of political or spiritual beliefs. I think we're better friends for our differences than we would be if we were just clones, if we were the same person. Variety is the spice of life, and our friends are paprika. Always pick up as though no time has passed. This one is huge for me, so I can't tell you how much of a relief it is to find it on somebody else's list. I can tell you how much a really great reunion with a friend is utterly destroyed for me if someone decides to throw out a guilt trip about how long it's been. Now, don't get me wrong. There's a right way to express that and a wrong way, a spirit of gratitude or appreciation. That is the right way. If someone says to me, man, I'm just so glad you came tonight. It's so good to see you. It's been too long. I might have a little bit of guilt, but mostly I'm going to feel so good about seeing my friend and being with them. And then there's the wrong way. If you've cleared your schedule because you want to hang out with me and you show up to hang out and part of the evening is me guilt tripping you with, why haven't you been around? Or worse, man, you're not likely to look forward to the next encounter with me. Not with that bad juju stuck in your craw. So appreciate the time that you have with that friend now. Don't dwell on the time that's lost. What good is that going to do? So this is a pet peeve of mine. I respect my friends enough not to make them feel guilty for having a busy life. And I tend to hang out with people who will do the same for me. So my advice on this point, appreciate the time you get to spend with your friends and don't diminish it with guilt and baggage. And don't punish your friends for time lost. I mentioned one of my oldest friends, Ben, at the top of the show in the promo. You know why he's one of my best and oldest friends? Because we live pretty far apart. We don't get to see each other all that much anymore. But when we do, it's just like old times, only better, because it's like new times. And that's not to say that we haven't lost a lot of time, because we have, but there's no point in dwelling on that. Let's move on. Let's make new times. Balance the dialogue. It's so nice to have a friend that will let you vent. But don't forget to do the same for them. I try to be a listening ear for my friends, and oftentimes they offer me the same. But there's only so much venting that a guy or gal should probably do. I need to listen as much as I vent, but also I should bring some positivity and seek some positivity as well. A friendship can't be built solely on listing and receiving those injustices that we meet in the world. It's got to be the good stuff too. And finally, show gratitude. And not in a, oh, I have to return the favor kind of way. Just be grateful. Show appreciation. This is hard to do. My friend Andrew Schmidt presented me with a very thoughtful gift. He hand sculpted a wonderful magnet of my original character, Tank Monkey. Totally surprised me by presenting it to me at a con that we were both vending at. It was one of the most genuine and generous gifts that I've received. This was his time, his skill, and his craft dedicated towards doing something incredible for someone else. Doing something incredible for me whilst getting a little bit misty-eyed. While appreciating it, I also immediately went to, oh no, what can I do for you now? But Andrew was quick. He expected nothing in return and would accept nothing in return. I just needed to show him appreciation. I'm going to wrap this segment up with a quote that I just really enjoy by writer Leo Buscaglia. He writes, "A single rose can be my garden. A single friend, my world." All right, folks, we made it to the end of another episode of the Turning Cartwheels podcast. Remember, folks, you can really help the show by writing a favorable iTunes review, and you can do that by searching out the Turning Cartwheels podcast in the iTunes store. All those reviews really help us to get our show out in front of more awesome people just like you. And it's really been helping. Most recently, we hit the number one spot in New and Noteworthy for hobbies. We were also number 16 for games and hobbies. So your reviews really do push us in front of a larger audience. Also, just the personal interactions that I've had, even outside of the internet, where people are saying that they really relate to the show, it really means a lot to me and it helps to spur me forward. So I really do appreciate it. Also, if you would like to get in touch with the show, you can shoot me an email at cartwheelspodcast@gmail.com, or you can get involved. You can add your voice to this show by emailing an MP3 or by calling in to the Google voicemail at area code 402-512-1868. If you do that, please remember to keep your language clean and keep it in or around 2 minutes. I would love to hear from you. Specifically, I would love for someone to call in and just tell me, what have you been doing lately for fun? Or what have you been doing at work to make the time pass? Let me know. Hit me up. I would love to hear it. I've been your host, Jesse Kiefer, and I want to thank you for listening. Until next time, have fun, or at least work at it. The Turning Cartwheels podcast is produced by Vorpal Arrow Studios and is licensed under a Creative Commons Attribution, Non-Commercial, No Derivatives 4.0 international license. For this episode's show notes or to hear more, you can visit cartwheelspodcast.com or like our Facebook page at facebook.com/cartwheelspodcast.